This lesson is more focused on us, his children. We talked about the Father in the first lesson, the Redeemer. I'd like to focus on the children, us, as the redeemed. Now, I'd mentioned the definition of redeemed or redeemer and what that meant. And if we were to put this in concept, the English word redemption means repurchased or to buy back. So that would be us, that the Redeemer has purchased us. We know that Christ did this with his blood, that we were purchased with his blood. Just to kind of set the context of Redeemer and who God was, our Father, and that he sent his Son in Acts 20 and 28. Therefore, when they're preaching here, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to the shepherd of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So we know that he purchased us, the church, with his own blood, which gives him the definition of this Redeemer. So we think about this, the definition and things that we have right here where it talks about purchasing the redeemed from the Redeemer. And we think about that he gave his own life for us. That how could he die for us and for the remission of our sins? We didn't ask him to do this. He did this for us. He did this for us no matter how great the sin was. Paul mentions in 1 Timothy 1 and 15, this is a faithful saying and a worthy of all acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You know, in this lesson, we're going to come back to talking about Paul and thinking about Paul. Because again, I mentioned this lesson, I'm thinking, is more for the Redeemer. Us, the ones who have been purchased out of slavery of sin. And especially when we talk about Paul, no matter how great the sin was, Jesus gave his death for us, his blood bought us. And Paul right here mentions that he is chief of sinners. I'll touch on that later, but I just want to mention this here, that he mentions that he is chief. Of course, we know that Christ gave his life on the cross that we might live. In 1 John 4 and 9 it says, in this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that he might live through him. So we know that God, a Father, gave his child to die for the remission of sins. So the Redeemer, the only way that he could redeem us was to send his Son to die on the cross. And as of Father's Day, really, that's a lot to think about. Because he gave his only begotten Son. Again, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So when you think about being a father, giving your Son to die on the cross, how hard of a decision that would be. We even see this with Abraham and Isaac. This decision where that God asked him to sacrifice his Son. And to think that God sent his Son, the Redeemer, the Father, sent his Son because that was the only way he knew that he could cleanse us from sin, to purchase us back from this. So God sent his Son, and I was just thinking about this just on a personal level, that God sent his Son to earth and they killed him. And in Luke 23 and 21, they shouted out saying, crucify him, crucify him. And to think that God sent his Son, this perfect Son, to the earth and they killed him. And this is the reaction that I think that people got in Acts 2 and 36. So I think of this event that happened. God sent his Son to the earth. They crucify him. They all shout out against him. And he dies on the cross. And this is mentioned again in Acts 2, 36 through 37. It says, therefore, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And the next verse following that says, now when they heard this, they were cut to their heart. They had finally made application. They understood. And now when they heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They had finally understood that the Father had sent their Son to die on the cross for the remission of our sins. Then also in Acts 38, they address what they need to do. They ask what they need to do to be saved, and he addresses with them that they need to be baptized in order to be saved. So we know that this has happened, that Christ gave his life for us, that he was crucified, that he was sent down and crucified for the remission of our sins, that his blood bought us eternal salvation. But now if we were to reflect on ourselves and to think about us as Christians, the redeemed, there's a lot that we need to do. However, a lot of us seem to compare ourselves to one another. And that's mentioned here in a couple of verses. Not all of us are perfect or can do other things that other individuals do. However, we are never to compare ourselves to one another. And there's just some verses I've thought with this, because in talking about the redeemed, we have a lot that we need to think about. So we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that comes from Romans 3, 23 through 26. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth as appropriation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So essentially, everything that I've talked about, everything that I've talked about, the Redeemer and the redeemed, all kind of comes together here in Romans. We talk about God has done this, sent his Son, that his blood could purchase us out of this sin. But this is important for each one of us to follow. Each one of us is responsible for this. It's even mentioned in Galatians that this is a responsibility for us individually. In Galatians 6, 4 through 5, it says, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will be rejoiced in himself alone, and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load. I think about this often. Just the other day in Bible class, we were talking about, you know, maybe talents or things that we could do. And I imagine it is very important for us not to compare ourselves to one another, that we should mind our own business, which is interesting because that's what we're told to do directly. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 through 12, it says, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commended you, that you may walk properly towards those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. So when I was thinking about this, this directly tells us to mind our own businesses, to go about our Christianity, to follow God the way that we need to, and to not compare ourselves to others. Because as the redeemed, I think that's something that we often do. However, we're repeatedly told that this is a danger for us, because we know that there's some that lead us astray, and they don't work at all. Because in 2 Thessalonians 3 and 11, it mentions exactly that. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we commanded and exhorted through the Lord Jesus Christ that they may work in quietness and eat their own bread. And then he gives them encouragement. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. I think this is something that we think about. Just today in class, we were talking about the different soils and the parable of the sower and about the different grounds that are thrown on. And we think of the ones with the thorns that can grow up and get us. And I think of the, as mentioned here, the busybodies and the ones not doing anything or not working at all can ensnare us, because that's who the devil's out to seek, the redeemed, the ones who call God Father. Those are the ones that the devil's out to seek. Because I believe that it's a simple path. Even as complex as things can be, this could be a simple path. And I tried to put this together in my head. I hope it makes sense. Is the redeemed have this path? So actually, if you would turn with me, I didn't print out these, to 2 Timothy 2 and 15. So 2 Timothy 2 and 15 says, "But be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker." We just talked about those that don't work, so this is a worker. "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So I was thinking of this as a step, as a pattern, to study, to show yourselves approved. Because earlier I mentioned about carrying a load. There was a verse I mentioned just about carrying a load. Well, if we turn over to Luke 9 and 23, we have some things that Christ has said here. So Luke 9 and 23 mentions, "And he said to them, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." I was just thinking about this with the redeemed. We are to take up our cross. And that could represent many things. That we are to take these things up in life and to carry this cross. Because it mentions about carrying this burden. Now the thing that really makes me think a lot here in Luke 9 and 23. This is way before Jesus is crucified on a cross. So I would imagine if I was an apostle and he had just told me this, I would be confused. It's like, well, what does he mean? Pick up the cross and follow him? Okay. Now I know that the cross is a symbol of things that's been throughout history, right? And they all would have known what the cross was. But for him to die on the cross later is interesting to think about. So I think about studying to pick up our cross daily, because in the end, in Matthew 25 and 23, Matthew 25 and 23, it mentions, "And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter in the joy of the Lord." I was thinking, as the redeemed that Christ gave his blood for, these are the things, this is our pattern of life, is to study, to show ourselves approved, to pick up our cross daily, so in the end, we can enter into heaven. And those are told for us each individually to do. This is not something the church can do for me. This is not what other redeemers can do for me, the other redeemed. This is something that I am to do myself. So if I was to compare myself to others, would I compare myself to Paul? Am I more like Paul at the beginning of his life, where he said that he is the chief of sinners? Or would I compare to him at the end of his life? Or should I even do that at all? Because Paul said not to. In 2 Corinthians 10 and 12, he said, "For we dare not class ourselves to compare ourselves with those who have commanded themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." So we're told not to do this even at all. That we are to follow our Redeemer and our Redeemer only. Because Paul follows up with this here in 1 Corinthians 11 and 1. "Imitate me as I also imitate Christ." He's saying that we should follow Christ. Because in Ephesians 5, 1 through 2, it says, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children." So we talk about God our Father. We are His children. "And walk in love as Christ also loved us and have given Himself to us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." So we are told to do these things, to not compare ourselves to another, that the redeemed are to follow this path that has been set up by God. That we are to do this so that we may see eternal life. There's nothing that I can do. Well, there's a lot of things that I can do. I can teach my kids to follow God. I can help Jenna, and she can help me to follow God for this eternal life. But when it comes down to it, it's up to us individually, as mentioned in these passages. So when I was thinking of this morning, of the Redeemer and the redeemed, it is an individual path. We're given the instructions in the Bible for this. Because we know in Romans 6 and 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus, in Christ Jesus our Lord." Because in 1 John it says, 1 John 5 and 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." This is the same one that I read in the other sermon earlier today. That we are to do these things to receive eternal life. To think about these things that our Father gave His Son to die on the cross. That way we may be purchased. But we have to live our lives and follow His commandments. That we are instructed to do these things as individuals. So in the end, in Mark 16, 16, Jesus mentions, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Because we are to follow these things. We know that He is a just God. And we know that He gave His Son for the remission of sins. He gave all of these things to us that we may live. But we are just to follow these things from our Father, our commandments, what our Father has disciplined us to do. So this morning, I hope that the lesson, especially here on Father's Day, to talk about the things that our Father has done for us. Remember, every good and perfect gift has come from our Father. And we know that this perfect gift, this great and perfect gift, that we may be saved, that we may be redeemed, has come from Him, that we may have an eternal life in heaven. It's a lot to kind of think about. To think about that He gave His Son. And that we are to follow His will. It is a very deep thing to think about. And it's something that we need to apply to ourselves. Because we are responsible for our own life and for our own path into heaven. But we are to follow His commandments. And if you would like to follow His commandments and become a child of God, as mentioned that I just read there in Mark, to become baptized and be a follower of His, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.